When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome to The Sportive. It's episode 47. I'm your host, John Marthaler. Brandon is down in Dallas staring wildly at a Kansas State basketball game. If you can just imagine, he's staring about 45 degrees to the left of the screen with his mouth hanging open.
Let's get fisted.
On the phone is Stu.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Clarence is here as well.
What's up, fuckers?
Hey, we got everybody, and we've got, returning to the podcast for the first time in a while, Parker Hageman.
Hey, boys.
He's actually in the studio here with me.
Everybody reality superstar.
Hey. Hey, guys. Hey.
Have you just been doing interview request after interview request?
Yeah, it's tiring. I'm just making the circuits around right now, and worst.
To give you some background for those of, I can't imagine who's listening to this podcast and does not know this at this point, but we'll recap it anyway. This week, Parker did one of, I would say, either the stupidest or bravest things I've ever seen.
Could be both.
And posted on YouTube an episode of the TLC reality show Second Chance. Second Chances?
I think it was just One Chance.
Just one chance. Second Chance from 2004. The second one, yep. Involving him and his now fiance.
Yeah.
Getting back
spoiler
together.
Alert.
Yeah, come on now.
He posted it on a Monday morning, and I think for the next hour and a half, Twitter was just some version of everyone I know tweeting, what the hell?
Stu said, what the fuck? That was Stu's line. Yeah. That was the first thing I got, was, what the fuck? So
that was pretty much.
Been happy in a long time.
I would watch 2 minutes of it and be like, all right, I got to do some more. No, I got to go back to it. I got to watch some more. I just got to see what happens next. That was my whole day.
The sheer train wreck of that early aughts, reality TV show. Terrible.
I feel like I have a million questions, but your buddy Dan Anderson did a, does he have a podcast? I don't even know what that was that he posted today.
Yeah, I think he's planning on doing one. He was trying something out that he got.
He was trying the podcast out?
He said, come on over, we'll talk.
So you explained a little bit about it, but I still have just 1 million questions. First of all, is this the worst reality television show in the history of reality television shows?
Wow. I'll leave that up to you guys to decide.
The last three seasons of The Twins have been the worst reality show.
Yeah. There's a PBS reality TV show on train engineers, and so that sounds pretty bad.
Is there?
Yeah.
That also sounds pretty bad.
That does sound pretty bad.
So, slightly above that, I'll say, I guess. I don't know. You guys watched it. I mean, I obviously, being in it, I saw it, too, and I'm like, wow, that's terrible. That is bad.
I got a billion
editing.
Questions. Oh, so shoot, many, I have more questions raised than answered after that half an hour.
The thing that confused me the most, I'll just start with this one, is the fact that you were carrying a lacrosse stick through most of the episode, even though you've never played lacrosse in your life.
I want to ask that.
Because I lax.
No, you don't.
I lax.
No, that's
you know, and you know, I know this because lacrosse is a spring sport, and so is baseball.
So, yeah, backstory on that. The producer calls us up.
Lacrosse a spring sport?
Yeah. Producer calls me up and says, you know, we gotta do something for your backstory. What do you want to do? And, you know, being the hashtag ball guy, I'm like, well, let's, you know, do something involving that. And he tells us, you know, we just recorded the one before this where they were doing something baseball related. So what else you got?
I don't want to get too heavy baseball.
And then I'm like, well, let's kick the hacky sack around a little bit, guys. What do you think about that? And he's like, oh, no, we don't hacky on the show.
Too hippie.
Yeah.
Too hippie.
So one of my roommates was a lacrosse player for the Gophers, and he had all that stuff. And yeah.
Wait, the Gophers have a lacrosse team?
A club team, club sport.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, better than the hockey team that they have, though.
How dare you?
Oh, wow.
Bad week. How dare you?
Yeah, right?
That's something else that you did just right there. That was something.
Just knife turning. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
So how much of the show was set up like that? Was it all, like, how much did you know going into the show what was going to be?
I knew almost everything going in. Well, so just to give you the backstory, Heather had gone down to Atlanta to nanny for the summer. She was living up in Duluth, and she had some friends up there that said, hey, you know, we got a family down in Atlanta that they, you know, you could go live down there and all that stuff. And she's out at like a, what she described as like a Grand Old Days type event, you know, like some street
fest. Was it Deion Sanders? Is that who she's named?
Deion Sanders.
Because that'd be fucking awesome. Or one of the TLC members, like Left Eye Lopez.
Yeah, Andre Rison.
So I own this network. Cause,
hey,
you know.
Clarence, too soon.
Sorry.
Too soon, buddy.
But apparently some producers approached her and said, hey, you know, we got a show. Do you know anybody you want to get back with for, you know, relationship? And we had been kind of emailing and talking the entire time. I don't know if they had emails in 2002. I don't remember, but
I think
they
we did.
Very well
2004.
Did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
It was all AOL.com.
For
yeah.
Many
yeah.
years.
Hotmail.com.
That was Hotmail at Hotmail was my name. Yeah. That was my original
name. That
email.
Makes perfect sense.
Wow.
So,
oh, Lord Almighty.
I know,
oh, my
right?
God.
Such a
you terrible. Sure you didn't play lacrosse?
Such a terrible person. Such a terrible person.
I know you didn't because you're holding it, but the lacrosse stick upside down. I can tell you didn't know what you were doing.
Try to swing it like a bat, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, then she emailed me like a couple days later. It was like, hey, if a producer emails or calls you, you know, this is what's happening. So they did like a couple days later, and you know, I'm like, well, I'll get a free trip to Atlanta out of this. So yeah, let's see where this goes.
You see, I didn't know any of this when I was first watching the show, and the biggest question I had in my mind was, why did she leave for Atlanta in the first place?
So now you know.
Yeah, that there she was just going all the time, and then she was coming. It just made no sense.
There's so many layers that they needed to...
And the best part was they made no effort to explain it whatsoever. They didn't make up a fake backstory. They just completely ignored the fact that she had up and moved to Atlanta for, according to the show, no reason whatsoever.
There were some domestic situations we had, and she had to get out of the state.
Yeah, you know.
We'll just go with that, right?
Yeah, see, that would have been an interesting reality show.
I'll just say that, yeah.
So wasn't there a scene where there was a camera kind of in between all of your friends facing up, and they all huddled around?
Yeah, that one won some Emmys, I think. Yeah, that was a great
scene. I mean, how many takes did that one take to get right? I feel like that would have
We filmed so much stuff. You know, like, he's like, the producer is a producer, a camera, and a sound guy following me and my friends around for whatever. And he's
not
like,
one soul between them.
Well, see, the guy was on his cell phone the entire time. Like, whatever, you guys do whatever you want. So, you know, he'd tell us, like, hey, you know, just, you know, fuck around, whatever, you know. And then, so he'd fuck around for a while, and he'd start talking, and then, you know, he'd catch something that he'd heard. Like, somebody asking me something. He'd be, whoa, you know, reset here real quick, ask him that question again. So it was completely staged. So there's a lot of stuff where it felt like you're acting. Like, then they had to ask you the question, and you had to respond to it.
Well, I'm glad that's not how your friends actually talk, because it was pretty, hey, Parker, what do you think is going to happen in Atlanta?
Yeah, I was sad for you and your friends.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was fun to do, but yeah.
You got to say yes to it. I mean, that's
the
hilarious.
Editing process.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, but you say yes to it, and then you never mention it again, and don't tell your family, and
put it online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Have you been surprised by the reaction you've got from people, or is this exactly what you expected? All of your friends going, what?
I was about 15% sure it was going to go out and gleam in and get his hands on it and do something dumb with it, but I thought I'd sneak it in at like 8 in the morning. Like, oh,
so you
not,
got out ahead of it. That's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out in front.
Yeah.
Yep, that's PR 101.
I'm not ashamed. I was a dude bro once in my life.
To be honest with you, I thought about trying to get a bunch of twins bloggers together and shoot a shot-for-shot remake of the whole episode. Because that would be excellent.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Let's do that.
Gleeman and yep. Bonus break up for a while.
Exactly. That's together. Exactly the two I was going
Gleeman
to suggest.
Sitting on
those.
A mat, and John comes up from behind. Hey, what's up, Aaron? Oh, hey, how are you?
So surprised you're here.
It was, they had no backstory. It was like being dropped in the middle of a Jane Austen movie. Just what the fuck, why are these people, why did they break up?
Why am I watching TV at 11 a.m.?
Yeah.
I think that it was so long ago, though, where I think, you know, it's not like you have to feel that bad anymore, right? It's so far in the
anymore.
Past.
Are you saying I cried for days or something? About like...
it. Yeah. I mean, if you had done it like 6 months ago, I think it would have been really funny. But so long ago, you know, you're in on the joke now, right?
Yeah, if I was wearing puka shells 6 months ago, yeah, right, I'd be really embarrassed. But no, so one of my favorite things that happened afterwards is it must have been a month after the show aired, you know, and this is nobody had DVRs to catch it or anything like that, and nobody taped shows at the time. But I went up to St. Cloud to visit some buddies at St. Cloud State. And we go to the liquor store. And Stu, you might remember that liquor store at 9th and 10th. Do you remember that, right?
Oh, yeah. Schweggies.
What's that?
Schweggies.
Something like that, right?
Or Schwegmans, yeah.
I go in there and I'm buying, you know, my standard Coors Light or whatever, right? And the guy behind the counter, whatever, some kid in college, kind of looks at my ID and goes, saw your TV show the other day. I was like, wow. And he seemed a little ashamed of himself. Like,
yeah, nobody was looking at anybody else right then. It was a little bit like you were a porn star. And he was like, hey, I saw your movie.
Money was exchanged, and we never spoke about it again. Yeah, it was weird. So that was the biggest celebrity moment of my life.
Really?
Liquor store guy in St. Cloud recognized me.
What about the time you were on the Sportive Podcast a couple of weeks ago?
Well, yeah.
There's that,
too. My star is rising, you're right.
I'd say so. And according to Dan, there are a lot of questions about one of your eyes on the podcast or on the show. I didn't actually notice this, but
yeah. So at the time, I had—I don't know—it just kind of looked a little swollen. You know, the eye was—I had a—I
did not notice this, like, to be honest with you.
I had a bulge behind my eye, and I had to get that drained.
Was
like,
it
a couple later?
It was
one of those.
Now that's a reality television show again.
I've got eye herpes.
Fine. As long as we're admitting things.
I mean, I've had eye herpes a few times.
Sort of that third act twist where she wants to get back together, but then Parker has to say, well, I have herpes. And then what happens? Does she still want to get back together?
Dun, dun, dun.
That'd now, be huge.
That's a reality television
I'd
show.
I'd watch that. Yeah.
Instead, we just got you standing on a robe, standing in a robe on a balcony in
Atlanta. Don't pretend like you aren't jealous of the robe. Everybody loves a robe.
This is the problem with the Shabber Shot remake, because we'd have to see John Bonus standing in a robe on a balcony in Atlanta.
Who wouldn't want that?
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Most of America, meow. I would say.
That's what the internet's made for, is me searching John Bonus in a robe. You know?
Yeah, everybody's listening. Go out and search John Bonus in a robe.
Up empty. Parker, have you called TLC to let them know that this were all worked out for the better and have them do like one decade later follow up?
Are you referring to the Learning Channel? That's what TLC stood for, by the way. The
oh,
Learning
wow.
Channel. Yeah.
Amazing.
Did you learn something about me?
Sure did.
Yeah. No, but then we discovered, and I didn't think about it until I just put it on YouTube, was that the producer's name is on there, and I looked him up, and he's now a producer of Intervention.
Really?
You know, that show, does that ring a bell? Right. Anything?
That's the one on HBO?
So I feel
Jeff
like
Van Vonderen.
My natural jump would be to go on that later. Mm-hmm. I'll have to be
drink up, Parker.
Intervened, right?
Yeah.
Intervented?
Yeah, and then they could show clips of that show.
Intervention.
Intervoxed.
Interventionered.
Vilified.
Clarence, what did we always give you back in the day? It was interventions, right? And that's what it was, right?
Yeah, I
called it like a surprise birthday party in my head. It was more, I tried to make it a positive. It
happened every week, but now we went bowling.
Yeah, intervention has such a stigma, that word. I like to use it differently.
Get together.
Yeah.
Well,
what I want to know, if I could ask a question, did you ever meet that Paige Davis from Trading Spaces?
Yeah, we're tight.
She was really nice and like perky and stuff, and she seemed really like, to be enthused about home improvement.
Yeah, I'd sure. Her spaces.
And I mean, she, wow, man, she's a nice girl. I don't know why you go there, but I just was curious if you actually, because I think she was like contemporary. That was like the big Trading Spaces. Oh boy, somebody got locked out.
Yeah, guess who we just lost on this podcast?
Man, I thought I had a
lockdown.
Yes.
that's going to happen. But yeah, I just, you know, that was like contemporaneous with when Parker's show was on. I just kind of figured that he and the rest of the TLC, like at the big lounge in Atlanta that they have.
Right.
Hung out, maybe played hacky sack or something.
Annual retreat, did a trust fall with Ty.
And like Sweaty Frank and Vern. And I watch a lot of Trading Spaces.
Yeah,
you know, you're gonna be surprised, but
they had just been born. So we had two kids under five and never left the house, so it was basically what was ever on TV.
That is parenthood of small kids for you. You're simultaneously stressed out and bored out of your mind.
Oh, same. Yeah, exactly. You're broke. You're bored, and there's just no. It's the worst.
Yep.
So. You find yourself watching Second Chance on TV. Yeah. That's
exactly.
You know what? I think my favorite thing to believe this week has been that out there somewhere, this is a big country, and a lot of people have different likes and dislikes. And so I like to believe that somewhere out there, there's somebody with every episode of Second Chance taped somewhere that is going to stumble across this podcast or Dan's podcast, just be like, oh my God, and like emailing their one friend from their Second Chance web ring that they had going on in 2004.
Rubbing
like,
their nipples.
Did you see Parker and Heather? Parker and Heather stayed together. I'm so happy.
It'll be right after Parker's intervention episode. It'll be an episode of Hoarders.
Yeah, starring Clarence Swamptown.
Yeah, he's back now.
Yeah. Oh, is he back? Oh, it's good to see him.
Yeah. I'm back, yeah. No, I heard what you said, John.
Oh, right.
what you thought you said when I wasn't here. I heard everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, anyway, do we have any more questions? Most of them were summed up in going, what the heck, but...
No, I had a number of generalizations that I had that were all answered, that he wasn't a lax bro. He may have been a dude bro.
Totally.
But he's not a lax bro. I mean, there is a line in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And even though he had a lacrosse stick, my question was, had he ever played lacrosse? I didn't think he had. He answered that.
Yeah.
My other generalization was that poor girl, she's never been in a judo studio in her life. Or whatever that thing
you
was.
Can tell, huh?
I don't know. So they're going to do judo. I don't know what really is
They gave her two options on that, apparently. They said he could either do like a ballroom dance class or the Aikido studio.
For the sake of what's happening this week, I wish you would have picked ballroom dance.
Yeah,
because that would have been...
I think you made the right... She made the right choice.
What are
Jose Aquindo.
What were the perks involved with starring in a show like this?
Wow, perks, huh?
I mean, you got a free flight down Atlanta to hang out,
right? Put me up in the W Hotel in the penthouse.
Gorgeous balcony.
So, so that's why you had to say good morning, Atlanta, right?
Of course.
The
drink it in. It always goes.
The night robe to borrow.
The night after the show, the producer flew out at like 7 p.m. right after. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm wrapped. We're going. But you get this.
Yep.
And he goes, you know, so my credit card's open here, but don't take anything. And I raided the honor bar.
Okay.
Food,
okay,
set that
asshole.
Up.
Yeah, but, okay, yep. Asshole, I'm never going to see again in my life. That's a good strategy. And how much did you rack up on his credit card?
I don't know the total, but there was dinners and there was like a shelf of liquor that was gone.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly right.
Maybe some adult.
That's a well-produced show right there.
Yeah, it's well-oiled.
That's great. I'm so happy that you still drink. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Right.
And, to be fair...
Have you ever figured out... Was the whereabouts of the robe ever discussed?
That was the W Hotel's robe.
Did you take it with you?
No, that was the one thing I didn't grab that I regret my entire life.
That's just picture the producer showing up and being like,
Rosebud.
Dude, you can't be naked. You gotta wear something.
Please.
Like,
God damn it.
Put some pants. There's a robe in the closet.
I thought it was one of those kinds of shows.
Yeah.
So
you want
like,
a Parker, you get Parker.
Get all.
Look good and feel good.
No, that was me. Else. I just kind of was joking around with that. I'm like, hey, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put on the robe and robe it up. Yeah.
Okay. It was a beautiful robe, and I think everyone agrees about that.
I'm just saying. Well, you know, people want to make fun of the robe, but that was solid.
Oh, it looks like Ali wore it with Thriller in a Manila or whatever. It's Frasier.
And you think, you know, like the tail end where he's fighting against, like, Jerry Cooney and stuff like that. And, you know,
and the big collar that's a different color than the rest of the robe.
The mind is already starting to go, and he just has it. they're just throwing ropes at him, and he doesn't care.
Yeah. That got sad. Aww. All right, to finish off,
to bring it sad.
Yeah. I want to talk about my favorite line from the whole show, which was, I think Heather's always liked me in brown. That was my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the guy would tell you, the producer would say, here, you're going to do your pretend like you're getting ready, but you got to talk while you're doing it, right?
Because
it can't just be a person doing normal things on a reality TV show. They have to have you saying, like, I must have done that, like, six times of, you know, hey, you know, different lines and all that stuff. That's the one they went with.
Anybody else got a favorite line?
I think mine was caring like how. Because she didn't even say the word caring. Like, I care about you. Caring like how.
Dude, yeah, I'm second in that one. That was a great line.
Just going to punt that on her. Yeah.
Oh, God,
that was the hardest part, is that crap at the end there where they, you know, they're like, okay, now be real. And then they'd be like, oh, stop. Now say that what you said again. And, ooh, stare at each other. We're going to film you while you stare at each other. Like this, yeah.
If we were filming this, this would be at least as well produced as Second Chance at TLC circa 2004. The sport of podcasts and Second Chance really have a lot in common.
You guys' production value is 10 times better.
We bring people together. We have to say that again because we forgot to record that. It really has a lot of similarities when you think about it.
I'm in a robe.
How much did this coincide with? So did she move back like immediately afterwards and that was kind of the plan the whole time?
Oh, yeah. It was a big ruse, you guys. Come on. It's all lies.
Obviously.
It's all lies. Not reality at all.
Next thing you're going to tell me is those Duck Dynasty guys aren't really like that.
Hey, those guys are more dude bro-y than I was.
That's probably true.
They had all the polos. I don't know if you've ever seen those photos of them. They were clean-cut dude bros.
Were they?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I think I did see some spread where they're actually, like regular-looking bros.
Yeah.
Just like, there's a clip of Larry the Cable Guy out from early in his comedy career where he's just totally normal.
He's wearing, like, the two polo things with the collars up.
Yeah, his name's Dan Whitney from Nebraska. Dan Whitney.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now he's Larry.
He has that accent. It might be Brandon, actually. Are you Larry the Cable Guy, Brandon?
No comment. No, I'm... It would be the other two that are anonymous. Those guys might be.
That's true.
You know who I am.
No comment.
Oh, you shattered my...
Shattered the myth.
Yeah, I guess so. The takeaway here is reality TV show is one big joke.
Okay. True.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Doubly so when someone you know in real life is on it.
Yeah.
In conclusion, if anybody else I know wants to go on a reality TV show, please do, and I won't watch the tape for 10 years, and I'll make it even better.
Did you know that we've had another one of our guests on this podcast has been on a reality show on HGTV?
No. Who?
It's true.
Who?
Sharkman.
Yeah, sure.
What?
I Hate My Kitchen.
Oh, everybody's been on that show.
Their kitchen and
Parker and I are on that show right now. What's happening? I Hate My Kitchen, guys.
Yeah, I know. I remember that now. Yeah, that was a while ago.
We should find that and put that online.
Then we'd reveal a secret identity, which Stu just did, which I'll have to beep out.
Oh. He's revealed it himself a million times.
Yeah, but it's more fun to beep it out.
But how about his identity, though?
Well, I mean, he takes photos of himself and puts them on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Literally revealed his identity. I thought you were talking about what he does.
Oh, no.
I just enjoy beeping out his name every time anybody says it on the podcast. I'm going
to
do that again.
Add to the intrigue? He probably pays you for that. He would love that more than anything.
Yeah, I think so. I get kickbacks from John Sharkman on this podcast.
Good for you.
I hear he pays you guys in open baseball cards.
I wish.
Who was there for the pub crawl?
Yeah, I didn't go.
Oh.
Nope.
Stu?
Stu was there. I was not.
I was there for a piece of it. I was just there for the Karen's portion of it.
Oh, that's the worst.
So you just got the K portion?
I just got the K portion, yeah. Well, they were there for a good... They skipped letters. They were, they skipped the M and they went straight to Nye's after Kieran.
Look, when I saw that list, I said, you got to go party bus or you can't do this. There's no way this is going to happen
ridiculous.
Without like one shuttle.
Yet another poorly run pub crawl.
They seemed to have all the cabs, lined up when it was time to leave and time to get there. So they had their some of them had their wits about them, and then some of them were
some did not
who worked at the newspaper.
I heard that story. Yeah.
Let's call them out by name.
Had a bit of food poisoning, I believe.
Patrick Ricey. Yeah.
Patrick Ricey.
Bad sea fish. That's not even a word. But yeah, and I, Parker, brought you. I saw you were a yes on the list.
So I brought
your wedding present with me, and you weren't there. So now I just
it's not the dirty bubblegum thing. I'm used to that trick. He can't do that.
No. You'll like it.
See my new wristband.
Classic.
It is a baseball card, but it's not anything, you know. I think you'll like it. So
I'm gonna guess it's Disco Danforth.
I gave Gleeman one for his a housewarming gift, and it's a Buddy Biancolana from 1986 from the Royals.
Yeah,
was it the wood grain tops one?
Cards of mine, and this was it. I think it might have been a Fleer. I don't know if it was a Topps
the
or
first
a Fleer,
year of Fleer.
Or it could have been a Donruss, because Jesus, those are garbage cards.
Going back to Disco Dan Ford era, Stu, wasn't there a story about you learning new words?
Yeah, let's tell this story again. I want to tell this story.
I think about this. This is the third podcast.
Yep, and I want to tell it again. Go ahead and tell it again, Stu.
Should tell it each okay. week.
We should start the podcast every week with the story.
The year was 1977, and I had never heard that many swear words because it was a more innocent pre-HBO time, and my old man actually made an effort not to swear around me except for when the Vikings were on. And we went to the old Met Stadium. General admission would be the left field bleachers, metal benches, and Disco Danny Ford was patrolling left field, and a ball got past him down the line, and he just said, "Motherfucker!" And that's the first time I had ever heard that phrase, and my mom, you know, good Catholic woman, was mortified. So,
she wrote anyway, Calvin Griffin a strongly worded letter after that?
That go far.
I don't think Calvin, I'm sure,
learned a few more then.
Exactly. So yeah, that's how I learned the motherfucker swear word. So.
It's very useful.
I'm trying to keep it fairly quiet because my kids are in the other room.
Well, you got to pay it forward.
That's true.
From Dan Ford to Stu to his children, down through the generations.
Yes. Yeah, so that's where that
I
came
do love that story.
I got you a baseball card, and I'll give it to you the next time I see you.
You know what?
You're going to be gone for like a good... You're on like a destination wedding thing, aren't
you? Yeah, Wednesday, Wednesday we're heading down. Well, So we're down to Captiva, Florida, which is right outside Fort Myers, where the Mucky Duck is, if you guys are familiar with the area.
Oh, yeah.
The Mucky Duck. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's a little resort called the Tween Waters Inn right outside of that that we're doing the whole shooting match.
We've got a lot of tweens.
I was going to say, like Drake and Josh are there.
Run by tweens.
Yeah. Charlie. The Frederators working behind the bar.
Gibby.
Yeah, choose between Sam or Carly.
Gibby's rubbing his belly. Yeah.
You guys know way too much about tweens.
These are two men with tween children. Yeah, at least that's what they tell the cops.
My dad and I are leaving Wednesday because we have to drive down a ton of shit. You know, there's like all these, you know, centerpieces and all that crap that have to make it down there, and they're flying down that day. And I think if I have my way and I get to St. Louis and we decide that I don't want to do this anymore, I can go to Mexico. I feel like that's a nice out. I feel like
35 south.
I'm running an option right now. Yep. I've got an option route.
And I'm just a few miles off that. You guys can stay at my place on your way down.
There's a safe house.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a safe house here. I've been preaching this on Twitter for you. Have a fucking safe house when shit goes down. You got Broxy's place.
Here's what I want you to do, Broxy. Just, you know, stock up on Scheinerbach, and maybe I'll get there. Maybe I won't in a couple days.
Yeah. Hey, worst case scenario.
Either you're drinking it to celebrate his wedding, or you guys are drinking it together.
Yeah,
fantastic. I see no downside.
Win-win.
Yeah. And another reality show comes out of this.
Right.
Third chance.
Hiding friends from getting married. Great concept.
Yeah.
So how far is it? 19, 20 hours?
Yeah, we got to drive to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right. Great town, very underrated.
I want to stop through Harlan County, Kentucky, which isn't too far away, but it's not quite on the beaten path.
Well, that's don't worry, you can get meth anywhere near there. Yeah.
That's kind of the point of Harlan County, Kentucky, is it's not really on the...
Once you get there, you don't leave sort of thing, or what?
It's not easy to get there.
There was a long read about Harlan County just a couple weeks ago. It's the heart of the white ghetto. It's like the worst, one of the worst ghettos in the country. It's all white people. It's terrible.
I believe it.
Sure. Yeah, the white people are just the worst.
I know. They are.
I know. I hate them
pretty much.
There's nothing can do about them.
So you guys watched Justified, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So the first season,
I think I'm the farthest behind out of everybody. So if you get on beyond season,
well, no,
three,
I won't give any spoilers. Yep. Other than everyone dies in this last episode, but.
Yep. I heard that.
The first season was actually filmed in Harlan County, or near there, you know, near that area. Then the rest is all filmed in California, which...
Really?
When you watch the background stuff in season two, season three, you're like, oh, yeah, that's bullshit. That's the L.A. Hills, and that's the Hollywood sign in the background. Fuck this.
Yeah.
This helicopter is driving traffic choppers.
You have to suspend your disbelief a little bit in some of the outdoor scenes.
Like, the hell's Jimmy Herman doing? Jimmy Herman's on roller skates in the background? Fuck. You're making
any sense. Well, this is Muscle Beach? Little House on the Prairie growing up with those giant mountains in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. Again, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit there.
Yeah.
You just got to give yourself over to the magic of Little House on the Prairie.
That show lost a little bit in my mind after I heard it was, you know, L.A. and stuff. Like, yeah, you sellouts.
Yeah, you might have. I don't think you'll have ruined it for me. I spent a lot more time looking at the backdrops.
Maybe the first season they had everything stolen by the white ghetto people.
Yeah, probably.
And that's, yeah, it was all sold.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Okay, back to the wedding. Let's hear more about it. What do you got going on?
Fear, nerves. Yeah, I think that covers it. Stress.
Insomnia.
And, annoyance.
Chain smoking,
yes. A lot of that, actually. Not yet. I should get into that. I should explore it.
You got two more days.
Save that till the end.
Yeah. Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's a good place to be going.
So, you know, I mean, you know, it's next Sunday, and it's going to be just a kind of casual beach type thing, and 65 odd people there, I think, you know, and then it's just going to be a big party. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Is that counting as the honeymoon as well?
Yeah, so then we'll be there till the following Saturday. We've got two houses after that down there at Captiva. So we might go out to Bemini or Key West from there. You can get some boats and, you know, sail like a sailor.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Get lost in the Bermuda Triangle?
Maybe I'll see some boobies down in Key West. You know, that's
maybe.
Honey, grab the beads. We're gonna go down to Key West.
Can't be dead on you, honey.
A lot more helicopters.
Yeah, Key West is not known for the boobies.
Not really?
It's known for the wieners.
A lot of wieners.
Oh.
Tons wieners and tons of
left and right.
McDonald's meats. Oh. Yeah, Clear Lake. Yeah, if you can picture, they're hanging from the ceiling. It's just like an old Italian deli. Everywhere.
Oh, God.
Just wieners.
So everywhere. Maybe Bemini then, not Key West is what you're saying.
Yeah, that might be your bet. Now,
Key West is nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. I think it's
it's gorgeous.
Breathtaking.
It's just wing filled.
Yeah.
They're just not going to see a lot of boobs.
No, it's life. It's join the club.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just have to make a trip to Scores in Miami. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Tampa's just down the street. That's Ybor City. You got plenty of J-Huts right there.
Yep.
Did you finalize your playlist for the wedding?
No, I'm still working on it. I mean, I've got... Yeah, so if you guys want to tweet at me, hit something, let me know. Let me hear some ideas.
What Parker Hageman,
from you guys, one song you have to have at your wedding?
Go ahead, Stu.
I'm going to say at least both the father-daughter dance and probably the processional need to be Pony by Ginuwine. I'm just saying. I mean, I know that's already there, but I just want to make
it confirm. No, that's a given. Yeah, that's already on the list.
Oh, yeah. Wham! 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 Wham!
Hey, wham, Grandma, come on, wham, let's dance.
Wham!
Oh, God. Such a good song. That was like sophomore year of high school.
I forgot entirely about that song until right now.
Aww. Never once. That and Doing It by LL Cool J. Those are the only two songs repeat.
Doing It Again.
And then Blackstreet, No Diggity.
No Doubt.
Oh, yeah. That's
a big one.
That's like, you know, the first bride and groom, their first, you know, first song right there. That should be little No Diggity, little Blackstreet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I had a friend that went to, it was one of my favorite stories. I won't go into the whole thing, but he went to, one of our high school friends was, it was like, it was an all black person wedding and like a very stereotypical black person wedding. And they announced they were going to be, they announced that they were going to be doing the dollar dance. So my friend went out and had a cigarette and he came back in and that one song was done. Like, let me hit, see them hips swing. That one, you know?
Yeah, that's Soulja Boy.
Yep.
Soulja Boy, right?
Yeah.
So he runs on the dance floor and starts dancing with the bride, and she's like, hey, are you going to pay? That was the dollar dance song. Soulja Boy. Like, they do hardcore.
Crank that Soulja Boy? That was the dollar dance song?
Yeah.
Wow.
Storybook wedding.
That's aggressive.
I don't even know what to say.
That's, maybe you guys should think about doing that.
But John, you're also getting married soon. Take notes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know.
Write this down. Well, send them to me, too.
Parker, have you considered the song Taps for your wiener? Takes her hat off and just...
We've got a steel drum guy on the on the beach. Yeah, well, I didn't do shit in this wedding. Okay, two things I was supposed to do is buy the stamps. I bought half of them, and then pick the music. And
you're still working.
But so Heather's done everything else. She gets a steel drums guy, and then she tells me a day ago we haven't paid him yet. And I'm thinking maybe I could just pay the guy in weed somehow. I don't think he needs like monetary. Exchange.
You are going to have to go to something in the airport or whatever to convert your money to weed to pay him.
Right, exactly, because if you're a steel drum
guy. It's the only currency spoken by steel drummers the world over.
But I feel like you can play Taps on the steel drum pretty good. That sounds like that might come out pretty well. Yeah.
Patchouli oil. Patchouli oil and weed.
I think that you need to rock a little old school Ludacris area codes.
Oh, and hose in them? In different ones? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking ODB Hey Dirty. That was like a staple in my college freshman year party days. So you'd go down to that St. Cloud State basement and that'd be like, you know, hey, house cup. Oh, dirty.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, that's a really good one. We, I was a snob with music even back then when we had house parties.
This doesn't sound right.
Swear to God, guys. Stick with me here. And I had this really, you know, I worked on this playlist for our parties forever, like this old school, like Stevie Wonder.
On Winamp? Did you put it on Winamp?
It was absolutely Winamp.
Audio Galaxy, you know, the best of the best, guys.
I don't have that song. I had to go on Napster and get that.
Until we would play that ODB song, and then people would actually, or Ja Rule with J-Lo, remember that?
Yeah, what was that?
That was a good one. Yeah.
Clarence and Stu are just dated in this whole thing. They're like, no, we were having kids at that time. Yeah.
No, I
brought up Genuine. Come on.
Fine. I'll bring up one I do know. How about She Got the Gold Mine and I Got the Shaft by Jerry Reed?
Sure.
No.
Wedding classic.
Nobody.
Who's to say we weren't already playing that one?
You cut out again.
This is up there with the time that Josh Fiedler got married and or was asking us for wedding advice, and we gave him wedding advice, and it was the worst advice anybody's ever gotten.
It was so bad. Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine any advice you guys are distributing here is not to be taken seriously.
We've yet to get any of our advice completely right, but we're working on it.
If I ever need legal advice, I'm turning to you guys.
Legal advice. Who's our legal counsel? Who did we say our legal counsel was?
Maya.
No. Maya.
Yep. At Kirby's Left Eye on Twitter.
But we don't really particularly care about that, do we? That she's not really a lawyer?
She's not legally able to...
No, that makes her the perfect legal counsel for us.
Yeah, and then we got Finn's Left, the guy that follows us on Twitter. He's an actual lawyer. Yeah, who I actually would call. No. We don't talk about as much because he is the actual guy I would call. When shit goes down.
So many dead hookers here.
Rocket. He's a lawyer, too.
That's right, Rocket. I keep forgetting about Rocket.
Yeah.
He's a horrible
person. We have a lot of choices.
Yeah, we have a legal team.
But we have an entire, Big Daddy.
Yeah, it's like so Johnny Cochran and a bunch of OJ's other lawyers I can't name right now.
Just murder people.
Oh, so Heather Ballgart.
Heather Bogart.
We got four. Holy crap. This is, yeah.
We need to commit more crimes.
If Parker is kind of like a Kardashian.
That makes sense.
He's the robe of a Kardashian.
Yeah. He's a reality TV star.
Oh, no, that yeah. makes more sense.
Oh, tie it all back in, yeah.
And he has the sex tape.
Yeah, that's the next one I'm posting, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Nice. Well, anybody want to talk about sports, or should we just wrap this up?
Is it time to go?
No, but...
Oh, boy. Is there anything to talk about?
Well, I did want to ask Parker a couple questions about the Twins, because when does spring training start?
Well, they report on the day of my wedding, actually.
They report on the day of your
catcher's report for the Twins on the 16th.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, no clue. Heather picked the whole thing. I was stamps and music, all right? I have no idea.
Both of which you failed at. So.
Let me ask you this.
Terrible job.
Did you do this wedding in Florida just to avoid the chance of a Twins blogger crashing the wedding? I mean, this is a long way to go.
But no, that is a nightmare scenario. Yeah, you're right. No, that was not the reason. No. Just, no.
Although he did just say where it was, so we all could go crash it fairly easily.
Technically, yeah, you guys get $600 flights down there, sure.
Well, no, we'll just drive.
Megabus, I think Megabus is like $4 to go down.
My daughter's going to be down there at the same time, actually, vacationing in Florida. So maybe I'll have her come over and, I don't know.
How old are you?
Hang on. Swear at him in your proxy.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Either he's like 28 or he's like 58, and there's no in between.
Who's asking?
Yeah. And when you're down in spring break, you're 28. Yeah.
It's not time for spring break yet.
No, it'll be old people central down there. Yeah.
Yep. I was just down there. It was great. It wasn't that busy. There's not that many people. I don't like people, so it's nice when there's not people around.
That does sound. Your safe house is going to have to be in Florida. That's like right up your alley.
There's places in Minnesota that are just as... I'm not telling you where my safe house is.
No, of course.
What the hell?
Course.
Where are we going down this road?
This is as close as you've gotten. It's just the minute you have one. That's already a huge step.
Yeah, there's no way I'm telling you.
Don't let him ask me questions. Parker just ran to the fridge. You might have heard him say, don't let him ask me any questions right now. So I'm just going to go ahead and spill some time until we can open a couple more beers and just really, really get going on the podcast. I think...
Well, he can hear you. What Twins question?
The Twins question I have...
Could you possibly have?
There's no,
nothing
I...
nothing going on.
See, here's the thing. He's got hashtag access. He's a hashtag ball guy. He knows what's going on.
Sup and shit.
So what I wanted him to give us was one guy who's going to be better than everybody thinks he is this year, and one guy who's going to be worse than everybody thinks he's going to be this year. And by everybody, I'm not sure who I mean, so you can define that however you want, but... Give us one guy who's not going to be as good as we think he is. I've got my candidate, but I want to hear who yours is.
You know, in terms of just less production, I'd go with Brian Dozier.
That was going to be mine!
I just don't see him matching the home run output. And, you know, he might still have a good solid season, but I think everybody's going to see that and go, oh, he didn't, you know, do as well.
So basically, he's this year's Trevor Plouffe.
Yeah,
and then he had a year where he hit a few more home runs, and everyone's like, oh, let's just pencil Brian Dozier in for 20 home runs and a .315 batting average for the next 100 years.
Defensively, he did well. Yeah. So it's not a bad fit, I guess. But yeah,
he was playing second base instead of shortstop. So
yeah,
I mean,
don't count on those dingers.
No.
Yeah. Speaking of Italian delis.
Hi-o. So
we're
on the same page there, and that I think he's going to be like Plouffe was last year. What did Plouffe hit last year? 238 or something like that?
Yeah, it's down. Yeah. What Plouffe did 2 years ago was just basically that one binge in June and July where he just went off and then...
He basically hit 190 the rest of the year.
And pitchers went, hey, you know what? Let's keep the ball off the plate.
Yeah, let's go ahead and not throw him a fastball in the inner half and see what happens.
Idea. Yeah.
Maybe I'm mixing a breaking ball.
Yeah.
The old Jack Jones strategy.
Yeah, he'll swing at that thing on the other side of the batter's box, yeah.
That was the problem with Jack Jones. He got one curveball, and the hole he went,
he couldn't hit that curveball if he had two bats taped together. He still couldn't reach it. He's swinging anyways.
Just like
how many collective heart attacks would we have had if we were doing this podcast back in the day when he was leading off like a 305 on base percentage?
Yeah,
I don't even remember that being questioned by anybody either. Was I just not paying attention? Because it felt like, yeah, I guess that's what we're doing now. That's cool.
You know, I didn't become a big stats guy wholeheartedly until after Moneyball book came out in 2003 or 4 or whatever, you know, and started reading a little bit more on Bill James and all that stuff. So that kind of started happening, you know, Jock was doing that at the time, and I kind of remember thinking the Earl Weaver thing of, well, yeah, you want to get that home run right away. Yeah, that sets the tone, you know, that ball guy mentality of, yeah, let's get that leadoff home run. But then you started thinking about how, well, he doesn't have anyone on base.
Yeah.
Why are you going to have a guy hitting, you know, the solo home runs all the time?
Well, it was important that the Twins started every game with nobody on and one out.
Yeah, because then Brad Radke would give up that home run right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So basically, we've just gone back on an unbroken line from Brian Dozier to Trevor Plouffe to Jack Jones.
Yeah.
All the way well, going back.
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon thing there.
So who's going to be the one that's going to be better than everybody thinks?
I think Mike Pelfrey will have a better season than everybody thinks. I think, you know, I know John thinks he's
I've got beer riding on him being exactly
the worst thing in the world. I'm not saying he's going to be great. I just think he's going to end up having a better year than he had last year.
Second year Tommy John. That's what you're banking everything
on, right? Yeah, his second half was, I mean, there's, you know, within the numbers, obviously he was like 2-7 and had a 4-something ERA in the second half, but it was still, you know.
It was also painful.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool to watch. Don't forget about that
part.
It
was so slow. Yeah, I'm not saying... So oh, good gosh.
I hate him so much.
They re-signed him, really, for that fact. That's what shocked me the most. They re-signed him. Because I know Barty hates that.
Well, we have the beer sales theory that if you can keep the seventh inning from happening during those Pelfrey days, revenue goes up a lot.
Well, it mostly goes up for me, just trying to drink myself to death while Mike Pelfrey is pitching.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say he's going to be somebody that I think everybody expects to fail, and that
I don't expect him. The thing is, though, he could be 50% better than he was last year and still be one of the 10 worst starters in the American League.
Right. I'm not setting the bar here. I'm not putting him in the top 25.
The best case scenario is that Mike Pelfrey gets hurt fairly early on next year.
Ooh, best case?
Best case for me.
Okay.
For you is that he dies.
Never takes the ball.
But his leg falls off of his body.
On his way.
Thanks to a mysterious slashy.
Just over the street. I mean, wham! Fucking light rail. Just boom.
John the conductor.
So if you want to go offensively for somebody who's going to do better, it's got to be Josh Willingham with, you know, if his knee is better, I think.
Which it isn't.
Well, I, you know.
How old is Josh Willingham?
34, right?
How old are you?
32.
Do your joints
33?
Get...
shit.
Do your joints get better when you hurt them these days?
Well, I'm not going to say, you know, if you had to go through surgery like he did, it was at the worst case scenario.
That's true.
So whether or not you want to say he's going to match what he did his first year here, I don't think that's the case, but I think it's going to be improved, you know.
So both of the guys you're picking to be better than everyone thinks are guys who couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, that's the easiest case to do it, right?
That's good picks.
Fine, John.
That's why you're a ball guy.
This is why I blog.
I don't care about who's going to be worse, John. I want to hear you be positive. Who's going to be better this year than
That was
you and everybody who's going to be better than I think? I think Joe Mauer is going to surprise people and be.
Oh, God, you're just the worst kind of fan.
This is like your Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be the sleeper team. This is your
still the worst thing ever said on this podcast.
God.
All right, I'll make a specific prediction. I think Joe Mauer is going to hit more than 20 home runs this year.
Oh, all right.
Whoa,
that's pretty good.
Okay. You realize it still hits a target field, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So how do you think he's going to change to hit 20? Hit 19 on the road or what?
You wanted me to be optimistic. I'm being optimistic.
Did they have a rule change where he can bat twice through the lineup? Like they can bat him third
He can hit from second base, actually.
But I love that rule change.
When he gets to second base, it counts as a homer.
It's a ghost
trick. Doubles count as homers.
He gets to pick it up and hit it again.
When it stops rolling, he gets to run out there and hit it.
Is that a show-off triple, Stu? Is that what a dinger is called, a show-off triple?
I believe that is the nomenclature, yeah.
I've got to write these stats down. I got to keep those, Stu.
Yeah.
They are, as constructed right now, I know I've asked the question before. Parker, how many wins are they projected to get right now?
Well,
I was projected.
Well, let's see here. It was Clay Davenport who did it. He's the baseball prospectus guy, and now he does that on his own. But he had him at another 90-loss season, you know, with his numbers and his ways of doing projections, which have been fairly close over the years, 90 losses again. So,
do you feel, what do you feel about that?
I feel like, you know, I could see them being competitive throughout the season, but I don't see them having a winning record this year. I mean, you know, pitching staff, I don't see a whole lot of improvements out of it, but, you know, better.
Yeah, and then you combine a lower than league average offense, too.
Yeah, that's the thing that, they, you know, I mean, yeah, we got Jason Kuhl back, but, you know, you still got a lot of stuff to work on. Center field's still, you know, pretty much a big question mark. Oswaldo Arcia is going to be kind of a positive. I think he's going to have a better season than he had last year, but he's still a liability in the outfield. And then what are you going to do with Jason Kuhl?
Also a liability in the outfield.
Also a liability. I mean, the entire outfield is just one big statue. So,
what about Aaron Hicks? What do you see for Aaron Hicks this year?
I mean, I think he's going to be better, but I don't think he's going to be an opening day guy.
Really?
I think they're going to try to give him a few more Rochester at-bats. You know, they've got Presley that they like, as, you know, the organization likes him. They don't see him like a long term, but give him a couple months and let Hicks get up there.
All right.
Long term, I think Hicks moves to a corner, you know.
Which corner?
God, I'd like to see him in right with the arm, but you'd want to see more coverage in left. So I don't know. I don't know.
Long term, it's going to be Ed out in left field, Buxton in center, and Hicks
Ed?
Out in right.
Yeah, who's Ed?
Rosario.
Eddie Rose.
Oh, come on now. He's the second baseman of the future.
Nah, they're not going to keep him at second, are they?
I think they'll give him every opportunity to prove himself there.
And in this scenario, RC is DHing every day?
Rosario isn't like a... His bat doesn't project well in the outfield. That's especially a corner outfield spot.
Well, they don't care. They don't give a shit about that.
Well, if you're combining it with like a Hicks and Arcia, you know, with Buxton in center, then...
Because you sort of have to put Arcia in right just because it's the place he's least likely to get killed with a fly ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's fine if you think that Rosario is going to stick at second and give him an opportunity. That's fine.
Look, I know you're drumming up business for your fan club that you're running and all that stuff.
But when he said Ed, I thought he meant Ed Escobar.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, for a second. Like, I was like, well,
is he still on the team?
He's been drinking.
You got to think then that they're going to try to move Dozier if they think Rosario is going to be at second base long term.
Where are you going
to
move Dozier?
He's not worth anything to anybody.
I don't know. That's the thing. How can you have... You can't put any of them in any other position. Dozier can't play another position. So what are you going to do?
Nobody on the team can play shortstop.
Can't Dozier play...
Jason Bartlett.
Jeez. He doesn't have enough fire in the belly.
Getting the band back together.
Polanco and Santana and these other guys are still like a couple of years away.
Yeah, I mean, Santana's supposed to be a defensive wizard, too. I mean, that's kind of his M.O., so that'd be...
Yeah, but so is Pete Florimond.
No. Florimond still doesn't have everything down to be a... true defensive. I mean, he did very well last year, don't get me wrong, but not elite level type defender, you know. No.
Is Florimond
also bats like
looks
holding
like a little
and, yeah, and he can't give you he's got the rolled up wet newspaper he's swinging, yeah.
Anthony Randolph, the guy on ER?
Anthony Edwards is on ER.
Anthony Randolph played for the Timberwolves for a couple of years and was the saddest human being in existence.
And Clay Thielbar is from Randolph.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's the connection.
So,
everybody
full circle.
There we go. All right, let's finish.
Meat raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did any of you guys go to Twins Fest?
No, I just went to the Winter Meltdown.
Oh yeah, that's how I was going to try to bring. That
I was
back
in. I was sunning. I was out sunning myself.
Shut up. Wow. Nobody wants to. Literally, no one listening to this podcast wants to hear about that, Brandon. Not only because of the implied nakedness, but also because we're all freezing, and we just—I hate you so very much.
I feel shame.
You abandon us. Anyway, where are we going with that, Parker?
Meat raffle.
Meat raffle.
No, what was I saying about the winter meltdown? I was just saying, you guys probably talked about it with Gleeman and John, but...
We didn't talk about a lot.
Isn't Scott Erickson the most beautiful man you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just gotta put that on the record. Yeah.
Tasty dish.
He was impossibly good-looking when he was a twin, and he's impossibly good-looking now, even though he's so 53 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
Is he still married to Lisa Guerrero?
According to Twitter, yeah.
Are we believing Twitter?
There's some off-record stuff we'll talk about.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What? This podcast is basically all off-record anyway.
No, you can't bait me into this.
No. Well, we're almost to the hour mark, at which point I start saying nobody's listening to this anyway, so.
It's your bit, John. That's, you know.
Yeah, so seven more minutes, and then we can say nobody's listening to this anyway.
Then we just go.
Gleeman, on his podcast, did call us terrible people with a horrible podcast. That's a quote, and an unquote.
He said that?
Ooh, sounds like a blurb.
That's so nice.
Today's show?
I think we should run with it. Terrible.
Can you give us permission to use
that? Podcast.
We got to change our tagline for this podcast.
Hey, and Parker, can make us some t-shirts?
Yeah, we could sell some swag.
Yeah, supportive trade. Terrible.
Truth is the best defense against libel. So he's in the clear, probably.
He said that, and he hopes that I get cancer. That was kind of the... Those were the two things. Kind of back.
What did you do?
I don't know. He told me that's how he shows me.
Gleeman's brunch place was closed, and he just started lashing out at anybody he could think of.
Couldn't find a good clean hoodie or anything like that.
We bought him beer last week.
What a son of a bitch.
He said, he was saying that, you know, they were talking about Terry Ryan getting cancer, and he's like, why is it always the good people? Why can't it be bad people that get cancer? Why can't I give some of that cancer to bad people? And actually, it wasn't even Gleeman that brought it up. It was Bonus that said, well, yeah, like Clarence.
Wow! From the nice one.
Wow! John is the nicest person in the world, and he wished cancer on you.
Well, that's fine. You know, life is hard.
This feud is escalating quickly. This is great. I like
feud back on. Yeah.
Wow. No, we're, I mean, you know, words can't hurt me. I'm not indestructible.
Did you guys spit in their appetizers when you guys had them on last time?
We didn't buy them food. Just beer.
they were yanking tits. But that's fine.
There's a fine line between yanking tits and.
Well, it was in a jovial manner. But I'm going to play it up.
Cancer on you in a jovial manner.
I'm going to play it up for the.
I hope he dies in a car accident. Except worse, I hope he suffers and his family has to watch him slowly waste away.
Gotcha, good fucker.
So the rivalry starts back up anew.
Love it.
We thought that plane was dead. But
I feel a fire in my belly that hasn't been there in months.
Given that 5 days ago we literally had an enjoyable night out with them and bought them beer, I don't know if this feud is going that well.
Enough.
I say we drive over there, right?
Yeah.
Molotov cocktails.
That is what we should do. Just like pro wrestling, we'll interrupt their podcast one week.
It'll be like Porky's. We go storm the place, right? Yeah.
I just burn all of Uptown down. Like a great Hinkley fire. The Hinkley in fucking 1800s just burn the whole fucking place.
We should do that anyway. I'm sick of Uptown. Get rid of
that. That'll show him. He's fucking Stella's now.
Or if you want to take the long view about it, we should all move there and lower property values gradually.
Start hanging out at their bars.
Yeah, Aaron just moved uptown and thought it was, you know, his time to be new and cool, and then the rest of us moved there.
Plants without a shirt on.
Everywhere he goes, he sees Clarence mowing the lawn in cut-off shorts. And
Here's a mortgage statement every year. The house has gone down in value.
Just a couple thousand.
Right.
Oh, that'll teach him.
You know, his house is up for rent now.
We should rent his house.
We should rent his house.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
You gotta leave your teenage basketball hoop and your baseball card collection.
Yep.
That's
the only way we're renting it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back into that murder house.
No one does.
I still haven't been able to sleep at night.
You just hear that hollow sound of voices off of the bare plastic or plaster walls, and just know that the screams of
girls' voices singing
trapped in where they're in.
It's Patrick Bateman room. Is that the, is what we're doing?
I do picture you that podcast you guys recording in something that kind of looks like Pulp Fiction, that basement in the thrift shop, or whatever. That's kind of what a ball gag and similar.
Similar. No.
It's surprising how often this podcast high points and low points go inside.
It had lots of different sizes.
Wow. I don't know where. Brandon, do you want to complain about the Wolves a little bit? I think you might have something to get off your chest here.
Can I quick, Brandon, tell you that Rand Ball just tweeted that, I'll tell you, regarding the Wolves, because this is pertinent. Trade everyone, fire everyone, the smoke alarm is dead. Ooh. He's off the wagon, Roxy. He's on my side. Trade everyone, fire everyone.
I went off the wagon 3 weeks ago, maybe even a month at this point. I'm done with them. I don't watch them anymore. It's just
fire everybody? Would you go that far? Say fire everyone. GM, well, the coach, everybody?
Well, yeah.
The bartender at the loon?
I would say so.
So you're saying this team is underachieving.
I bitched about them, specifically Flip and his roster construction, for months on this podcast, over and over and over. And the only saving grace was, well, at least this year and probably next year will be fun, right? Because we've got a pretty decent team on paper, under contract. They're top heavy. They don't have a very good bench. But still, they should be competitive and enjoyable, right? Like maybe 500, at least something that we can watch every night and, you know, be entertained. And that was kind of like, I thought, a very pessimistic point of view, that I still think this franchise is astronomically fucked in the future. And so this was it. This was like, at least this year should be fun. And even this is not any fun whatsoever. You know, that's the power of expectations, because you know that they should be so much better than their record shows and the way that they're playing. So, I think that this, what I didn't see coming, I don't think anybody saw being that terrible in the last couple minutes of every game. Like,
except for me.
Well, they weren't bad last year, and they weren't bad the year before. I think a lot of smart guys like Britt Robson and Zach Harper and all of the really smart Wolves writers are kind of looking into it, saying it's not just luck. They do have some problems in a half-court offense, yada, yada, yada. But they were pretty good last year in close games, and they were pretty good the year before. So I don't really think that holds water. I don't think anybody saw that bad luck happening. But way more important is, I don't think anybody saw how bad Adelman would be this year. Like, dude is just, I don't know if he's checked out or if he's just getting impatient in his old age and doesn't give a shit about results and just wants guys to follow his game plan or directions or whatever. But, man, he's brutal, and he's playing Barea way too much. Like, way too much in the fourth quarter while Rubio sits on the bench. So that, to me, like, I just thought, as a Wolves fan, you kind of keep your guard up and you try to, like, make sure you're protected from every angle and not get kicked in the nuts by this team over and over and over. And I thought I had all my possible guards up, and that's the one thing I didn't account for. So that's what's fucking me over this year. And I think all fans. It's fucking brutal, man. It's the worst. It's really bad.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah, and so they're depressing now. But there's lots of teams that are not good this year, but have bright futures, you know, like it probably sucks to be a Sixers fan or a Jazz fan, but those guys are probably going to be pretty good in the future. And the Wolves are the opposite. Like, they're screwed from a salary perspective, and, Flip has not shown any competence whatsoever so far. So I'm just saying, as a Wolves fan to other Wolves fans, find a backup team for the next 5 years or so, just in case. Like, you got to have a second team.
Find a backup sport, you know? There's other sports.
Or a backup
out there.
Sport.
Curling.
I watched curling this morning. Curling. Anybody else?
Well, you're trying to get Schuster on the podcast.
Trying to get Schuster on the podcast. Wouldn't he be a great podcast guest?
He's losing America's sport, curling. He's been responsible for these losses, has he not?
What's that?
He's been responsible for these losses, according to you.
I didn't say anything about that. I was just
throw that at God. Yeah,
I just
deny and deflect.
I just want him to win so bad. I can tell he's sad when he loses, strategy. And I just want him to win.
Okay,
roll.
And you look at the guys on that curling team, and they all look like your, like they're not your buddies, but they could absolutely be your buddies. Like, oh, that guy looks like my buddy Byron, who drives dirt bike on the weekends, and he got a Chevy that never works right. They all just look exactly like
that. So finely tuned athletes is what you're saying. They
basically.
Like. Yeah.
They just look like they'd be fun to hang out with. And you could tell they're sad when they lose, and I just want them to do well.
Sad when they
okay.
lose.
That's all. I don't know.
I feel the same way okay. about the Wolves.
I might be taking.
Like, oh, I just want you guys to win and do well.
I might be taking this a little personally, but.
Yeah, there's nothing nothing good in Minnesota sports right now, is there?
No.
At all.
Well, the Wild are doing better.
Yeah, but they're not playing right now.
Guaranteed to be in the playoffs, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't like. You rip on me for this advanced stats stuff, and you know that I like advanced stats a lot more than you give me credit for, but the playoff projections.
You
stuff,
like them when they meet your yeah. perspective.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much how I like everything. Just advanced stats. People.
I like everything.
Yeah. But the playoff projection stuff, you know, just, what, 2 weeks ago, the Wolves were projected to have a greater playoff chance than the Wild were, and now it's not even close.
Yeah. No, Wild. Yeah, not even. I mean, well, that's because, I mean.
That's the problem is when individual teams, it doesn't mean a lot. I get what you're talking about, the cumulative, and on average, this is what should happen. But all it takes is for what happened with the Wolves. A coach checks out, you have a slight injury here, a slight injury there, and there. The whole thing is shot. I don't know.
It just makes me feel even worse about that because they were at one point like 80% chance or 75% chance to make the playoffs, which basically means in the history of the NBA, teams with this record playing this team moving forward, three out of the four times they'll make the playoffs.
Sure.
And then like a half an hour later, they were at like 5% somehow. Of course, this is the team, you know, and Dallas was like at 30% and now they're guaranteed to make it. So,
well, Brandon, you know,
backup team, guys.
I'm not a huge hoops guy, but, you know, the things that I've read about the team, you know, early on I remember it was their starters played more minutes than anybody in the first, you know, portion of the season, and they had no bench. I think the Wolves had no bench, and we'd see in that.
They
right
literally
now.
Had no players.
You've throttled down on your starters, and they've done well up that first point, and then, you know, this is what you get when you run in the red the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that they're playing a little bit more than others, but it's not. I mean, Rubio has played less minutes in the fourth quarter than Barea.
Like, sure, in specific time, I understand what you're saying. Right.
And there are sometimes you could say that, well, that's because there's been a lot of minutes where they've beat up on teams and been sitting out in the. Because I think even Love and Peck, last I saw, were like something like 200th in the league in minutes played in the fourth quarter. So whether it's. They play way too much in the first three quarters, and then they're either tired or they just don't have any gas, and they have to sit on the bench in the fourth quarter. Either way, that to me, it's a different game at the end of the game. So you need to have your best players out there and be fresh. So understand how to work your lineup. Like that's like the key to coaching, isn't it? Seems like it with basketball. And then he just sticks with these hockey lineups, which I just don't see working. You see a lot of these other. Like with Dirk in Dallas, they mix him up with a lot of different guys that are on the bench where he can kind of run with the offense with the bench guys to give him more offense. And I don't see that happening with Adelman.
Why do you think Adelman's been so bad this year? This is the part where we do uninformed personal speculation that borders on libel.
Well, I think to me, and maybe it's been like that his whole career, but he seems to only want players who will play within his system. And it seems like...
Wasn't that something we were praising him for not too long ago? About how he's getting all these guys that fit in his system and they were going to be a better team because of it, like Kevin Martin and Turiaf and Budinger and all those guys?
Well, I think getting guys to play within your system is fine, but I also think you need to adapt your system to the roster that you have. And to me, I see a guy like Derek Williams, who I think we were all, you know, didn't love watching him play, and he was pretty frustrating. He wasn't great, but his main thing that he did wrong was not that he was ineffective, is that he didn't go to the places on the court that he was supposed to go to, according to Adelman, right? So it's like one of these My Way or the Highway guys.
So we're saying he's good at basketball but bad at following directions.
Yeah, so it's like, what if Williams was effective but just didn't play within his system? I would think a good coach would be able to work around that and change his whatever. I mean, it's the same as in football, too.
If you're going to change your system, you really want to do it for a once-in-a-generation talent like Derek Williams. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Williams isn't really my point, but...
he's just who you used to make your point.
Yeah, he was an example.
All right.
And I feel like I see that with a lot of players where he's pulled guys before, gotten angry at them when they have passed up an open shot. And like, okay, I get it. That's kind of annoying because your whole movement offense is oriented to get this guy to take that shot and he didn't do it. But I don't know. He just seems pretty inflexible with those sort of things. And again, his reliance on somebody like Barea, when every single person who's watched the game at all, or anybody who can read any sort of spreadsheet after the game, can tell he's been the biggest problem on the Wolves this year. Maybe he hasn't been the worst, but he's played more than guys were. You know, he's played way too much. And he continues to play him over and over and over. And he's a really bad player this year. So, dude, I don't know. He's been terrible all year.
So what you're saying is Rick Adelman is the new Jack Lemire in this town. Yeah. Gets way too much credit from a fawning media. He's too set in his ways. He criticizes guys who actually have talent just because they don't fit in the system.
Guys.
Yep.
Guys.
Yep.
Guys.
When's the last time that Adelman had any legit high-level success?
Well, high-level, he was really good with Sacramento. When was that? Early 2000s, I believe.
So 10 years ago?
Yeah, and he was...
So that's very Lemire-like. Right
around the time when I was in a reality TV show. Yeah, I remember that.
Lemire was living off success he had with the Devils 10 years prior and hadn't really done much in 10 years. So
that's a perfect example.
John's analogy is holding.
Holy crap. I think that's 2 and 3 weeks now that I've got good analogies.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
Podcast over.
Frustrating. And the reason it's also frustrating is because he's going to leave at the end of the year, I'm sure. And I don't trust, obviously, I don't trust Flip to find somebody like Rick Carlisle or Jeff Hornacek or, you know.
The mayor.
No, that's Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
That's Fred who you're Hoiberg. Suggesting.
That's who I'm suggesting. Why the hell not? Bring him up here.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know either.
I don't know either.
I have no good reason not to.
I never understood why you guys love Fred Hoiberg so much. Why do Timberwolves fans love Fred Hoiberg?
He's white.
Oh, well, that's so cool.
All right, then. Okay.
We're all white.
Timberwolves have had a lot
you
of
know,
white.
I like, thought he was a pretty good basketball player, but I guess I'm a racist.
Was he a good basketball? How long was he even here? It seems like people act like he was here for 15 years, and was he here for even 3 years? Was it just two?
I don't know. Sport of Fact says 4 years.
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit.
Dude, it's a Sport of Fact.
I'm saying two, fucker. Well, you don't get to call. You don't get to just call it. I'm calling two.
Is this your first episode? That's all we do here.
No. If it's collective, then we call it Sport of Fact. Boom, stamp, poosh, sport. But if there's a disagreement, you don't just get to call it Sport of Fact and then your number wins. You say four, I say two, so probably the right answer is three.
Okay.
How about that? We go with three as the Sport of Fact. Is that compromise?
Sport of Fact, 2 seasons.
Isn't this illegal? John's actually doing research.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up.
I just looked
right
it up,
now.
2 seasons.
Oh, what's up, bitches? Fucking nailed it.
This is just like your knowledge of Greek mythology. You're pretending you don't know, and you actually looked up Hoiberg's fucking stats before tonight, and then like,
yes,
oh,
I looked up Fred Hoiberg's
Aristotle. I don't know. Is that a guy? Is that a thing?
Clan Swampdown is both a professor of classics at St. Olaf and a longtime Iowa State basketball fan.
You guys are jackasses.
You can say that he should get cancer, and he'll just laugh it off. You call him a professor at St. Olaf, and he just gets angry.
Books? Yeah. No, I don't read books.
The only thing this town has going for it is the Wild making a run with a goalie who stands on his head in the playoffs and win a couple series, or Gopher Hoop somehow Andre Hollins catching fire and getting them into the tournament. Is that right?
Well, yeah. Bracketology has them slotted in the 11s spot right now.
Okay, yeah, okay. So just don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that going so far? Losing three times in a row to Nebraska, Northwestern, and whoever else.
Purdue. Yeah, that wasn't helpful.
Mm-mm.
They're going to be in the tournament. They'll make the tournament, and then we'll see. We'll see what Patino's all about. Yep. See, that's where you make hay, is in the tournament. I mean, Big Ten season's one thing. Preseason doesn't mean much. Let's win a couple games in the tournament. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. But a decent first year, I'm really, like, I think it's promising. Probably the most promising team around, right?
They're promising at times, and then other times they
suck.
They're frustrating. Yeah.
Do you think they suck because of Patino, though? Or do you think he's done a good job?
I'm happy to blame Tubby Smith again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the comparison I was going to make, I guess, is what drives me crazy watching them is the way they play in the fourth quarter, and now they've had a few overtime games, and they do it even more, is standing around and waiting until the last second to make a shot. For the rest of the game, for the first half and the first part of the second half, they run Patino's offense, and it's great, and it's fun to watch. And then it comes down to that last 10 minutes or 5 minutes or in overtime, and everybody is scared shitless to take a shot. It's back to what they were doing with Tubby, where everybody is afraid. Back then it was because they were afraid of Tubby. They were afraid of getting benched or whatever, you know, because he hated everybody. Now I can't put my finger on it. Why is everybody afraid to take a shot? It comes down to the last 5 seconds, and Matthew is, you know, throwing up some J.J. Barea-like Hail Mary behind his back shot. And you're like, the fuck are you doing? You guys look nothing like this for the first part of the game, and all of a sudden everybody is scared shitless to be the hero. It's back like with KG when he was with the Wolves, and everybody, the biggest rip on Garnett was he doesn't want the ball when the game is on the line, and that's what I see with the Gophers right now. I'm just a guy watching the game. I could be completely wrong, but I see how many points they score at the end of games, how many points they score in overtime, and it's like, what the fuck are you? Play the regular game. That's what I thought Patino was going to be all about, was having fun and, you know, turning them loose and everything that Tubby wasn't. And that part I'm not seeing, is at the end of games, it's back to Tubby ball where everybody is just scared shitless. Am I seeing something different, or what do you guys see?
No, that was just right on the nose that I don't know what to say.
X's and O's. Well, look at that.
I did not expect that out of Clarence.
I just feel like that seems to be like college basketball in general.
What happened? I just passed out there. Yeah.
I blacked out for a second. Yeah, it was Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Well, I don't watch a ton of college basketball, Brandon. It's not like I'm watching Kansas and Kansas State. You know, like,
poor guy.
Yeah. Is that the way most guys are? Just because college basketball, that's just the way it is. They're all so young and...
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily that. I just had a hard time watching college basketball in particular this year, because it seems like every team is in the bonus with like 9 minutes left, and it's just a free throw shooting contest from there on in. So the end of games has just been painful in general to me.
Sure.
I don't know if that has anything to do with why the offenses aren't getting into motion, or if they're, you know, if their coach is screaming shit at them in the sidelines, and it takes them a while to understand even what the play is supposed to be. I see that happen once in a while. But, yeah, it's tough to watch. I mean, people give the NBA shit for being tough at the end of the games, which is also very valid, but I don't know. Maybe it's just
flaw
with basketball.
I think back to the 90s, those games that apparently didn't exist, but in all seriousness, when like Bobby Jackson had the ball or Vashawn Leonard, it didn't look like, I mean, they had confidence. You know, they ran an offense. It just doesn't look like it did now. So what happened between here and there to college basketball that?
Well, I think the problem is
such an old man observation. Guys, oh my God, these
guys, Kevin McHale always wanted the ball. Randy Brewer always wanted the ball.
Roy Burton was amazing.
Lou Hudson wanted the ball.
My ears are open, guys. You tell me where I'm wrong.
The problem is,
maybe they did just throw the ball off the fucking tell us, you know.
You don't like stats ever. You just want to go with the gut on like, oh, he looked great back in 88. Oh.
Arielle McDonald was a vision of a point guard.
No, that's fine, Hollinger. You tell me where I'm wrong then. Tell me that Bobby Jackson was throwing fucking layups off the scoreboard, banking them off, you know, behind his back.
Back then, though, all the guys were wearing their baggy pants. They had great circulation in their legs. They were so athletic at the end of it. Now they've got these skinnies on, and you know they just don't have the same leg strength or energy because it's all been sapped from their system trying to get blood down to their feet.
I think we figured it out.
Yeah.
Attack the messenger.
I think that's probably it.
That's fine, Dave Axelrod. That's the first rule in your playbook.
Messenger. Who are you the messenger on behalf of right now?
I'm trying to open this
is
up.
Is your wife writing this down and telling you to say it on her behalf?
Write something down.
You're the messenger for your own message. Hey, I'm just the one saying this and thinking it. So I don't know why you're blaming me.
Right on your forehead, I'm going to put a message.
Dave Axelrod.
Mushroom stamp right on your forehead. Wow. Fucking message for you.
Yep, this is our best podcast ever.
No, I don't remember Bobby Jackson and how great he was at the end of games. I mean, they were really good in general. So.
Felt like he made every layup.
Parker, this kind of always happens when you're on the podcast. We talk to you for about 45 minutes, then it just goes off the rails, and it's you and me just staring at each other for a half hour.
That's pretty good. It's like you wound Clarence up and just let him go, and eventually he'll just dig himself into that hole.
There is no better basketball mind.
You did so well for a minute there. I was on the same page as you and everything, and I was like, yeah, that was a great game.
What am I missing here? Those guys actually had an offense that they knew how to run and weren't afraid to run.
God, Puckett, Herbeck, those guys just hit dingers when it seemed like the game was on the line. Oh, man. These twins. Oh, keep going. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I thought I was pretty nice. I thought I could put the swords down on this reality show deal. I wasn't all that mean to you about it, and now I'm regretting that. It was so nice, and now here we are. True colors come out.
What's Stu been doing for this last hour?
Stu is gone pretty much throughout the podcast on days like today.
Oh, fair enough.
Is he on the phone? Stu, are you there?
There's been no reason for me to interject to any of this.
Well, I'd like to hear whose side you're on in this story. Yeah.
Yep. Where are you at on this thing?
I'm staying so far away from this and not nowhere near.
You don't have any smart aleck comments to make, Stu?
Nope, not a one.
Gallery over there. Nope. Old men and the Muppets up there and get up in their gallery up in Roseville. Rapping the moon. Jackasses.
Well, don't try to bring out the "oh, I remember when they used to throw," you know.
Fucking day. You're like 4 years younger than I am.
Clarence. I will say I just looked up some statistics, and Bobby Jackson was a pretty decent shooter. He was 44% field goal shooter. Does that help? That's not too bad.
I guess I just wasn't articulating it as well as I thought. So
here's the thing: Clarence is actually absolutely right about this.
Sure.
I do remember Vashawn Leonard and Bobby Jackson, a lot of guys in that era, wanting the ball at the end of the game.
They were cold blooded.
Like.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel better. That's great.
But it's not like their team has some sort of moral failing or they're scared or any of that. They're just not as talented.
But why is it? So with Tubby, we got why. Because he was just this ogre, grumpy-ass bastard that didn't like anybody. But with Patino, you know, apparently it's, guys, here's the ball, here's the offense, you go do what you want. You know, the brains are off.
Well, I think
when it comes down to the end, why... What's the difference?
Well, I think
they're going to take a shot they think they can make.
Brandon just hit the nail on the head there in that they don't have anybody of the caliber of a Sean Leonard or Bobby Jackson. There's nobody like that who everyone can point to and say, this guy is taking the shot at the end of the game because he's this good, and he gives us a chance to win.
That's it? Just until Hollins comes back, that this is the way they're
going to I'm going to throw out a theory here, maybe. Maybe, you know, stay with me.
All right.
We got to go back to the Clem Haskins. You guys don't do any schoolwork. You know, forget about all that stuff there. Just focus on basketball. Let's see how that works out.
I mean, let's cheat like motherfuckers.
Exactly.
I just want to win. I don't really care.
Where is Bill Musselman these days?
Like, do I care if they have a good grade, you know, at the end of the day, what their GPA was?
No.
Or do I care if they vacate the national Final Four game?
Nope. I've already sobered up. That party's already happened. I'm already ran shirtless. Down Washington
I don't have the
Avenue.
Receipt for that get-together.
Yep. I already burned a cop car in front of the old Arby's. You know, they can't take that back.
If they vacate the tournament, does that mean you're not in trouble for burning a cop car?
Flipping this car back right side up.
Yeah, they can't.
I don't feel guilty about being part of that riot anymore.
I am pro-cheating. I don't give a shit.
Let's do it.
No, they'll be fine. I'll enjoy myself more. I don't see who the victims are. Other teams, maybe? I don't give a shit.
Nah, what do I care about them? They don't care about us. Why should I care about them?
They're not gophers.
Nope.
Very true.
Stu's involved again.
Hey, John, I had thought. Who's your employer again, Jen?
Yeah, let's talk about that tomorrow.
Maybe John's got to get fired from another job for them to turn
this team. Look, we're just down the block from there right now. I could go by the athletics department.
Yeah, we can go over there right now. Just break in.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? All right, it's getting pretty quiet. Anybody else got anything they want to mention before we send Parker on his merry way to get married?
Good luck, Parker.
Do we have any final advice for Parker before the wedding?
Yeah, give that.
Don't do a reality show about this one.
It worked out perfectly. What are you talking about?
Love is patient. Love is kind. Yeah. That's something...
Love isn't boastful. Is that the one?
I'm having trouble believing it, but this podcast is currently reading the New Testament at you.
Yeah, that's weird.
Some say love, it is a river.
It's getting better. This is getting more appropriate.
I'm doing the sign language part of it.
And I'm Mormon, you guys.
Can't see
No.
So you're not cool with any
of it. It's a really good visual joke for the podcast.
No, I have no advice.
That's it.
All right. Well, you guys are all married, so the last one, if I ever come back again, will be John.
Mm-hmm.
To get
you'll come back again.
Okay. I thought I burned that bridge.
No,
that was it. Okay.
You were one of the most often repeated guests on this podcast.
Oh, that's such a feather for me.
I know.
I'm gonna update my LinkedIn.
How many times you've been on Gleeman's podcast?
Put that in your vows. Show your commitment.
I will always go on the sportive. If they
I'm committed, for example.
Mm-hmm. I've gone to the sportive a lot. I've
been on the sportive four times or whatever it is.
Driven halfway across the state to come here. Yeah. Yeah.
We just want to get you to the point where you've been on this podcast more than you've been on Gleeman and the Geek.
It's probably a dead heat right now. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. John takes more vacations, though. Bonus
That's true.
A lot, yeah.
We don't take vacations.
And Gleeman, nobody else likes Gleeman enough to
I'm
show
on a
up.
Permanent vacation.
Shut up, Brandon.
Can I tell you about the weather now, you guys?
Tell us about how your house got broken into.
Yeah.
I'm horrified, guys. Scary.
All right, well, we might as well wrap it up then. Good luck, Parker.
Okay.
Parker, yep.
Oh, are you going to tweet from the ceremony?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of tweets while I'm down there.
I think that's probably true.
David Brenner of the Sportive Podcast, we appreciate you coming on.
The old Brenner?
Stu gets it. That's
I got it. That's the important part.
Yeah. You guys want to explain it for those of us who are under 50?
He was on the Carson show, like, whenever they needed a guy.
Carson Daly?
He's the emergency guest, is what you're saying.
Carson Daly show?
Yeah. Well, Letterman and Joan Rivers and weren't available, and Jay Leno hadn't usurped the whole thing. It was like David Brenner's, like, gig. When
was this
Johnny
a radio
was,
show?
Was this in black and white?
Essentially, yeah, it was.
Funny stuff. Your puka shells on the fireplace. Your robe, and you're just, you're lax.
The puka shells are the one thing I want to
call them a lacrosse stick.
The puka shells are the only thing that was what kept it off TV for the last 10 years, off YouTube for the last 10 years.
We had like three tapes, because this was like, you know, nobody had DVD recording things at the time, so it was all taped. So that was.
And you would have posted it earlier, except for the puka shells.
Probably to get it out of the way, like a Band-Aid, yeah.
Is this the most embarrassing thing you've got from 10 years ago, or is there something more that we just don't know about yet and it's coming? Like,
you're just softening up the ground a little bit?
Oh, yeah, the sex tape, that's coming.
Oh, is it with Ray J?
Parker and Ray J.
You know, I had the chance to cut this podcast off like 5 minutes ago.
I'm regretting you not doing that.
Yeah, well.
Sorry about that.
you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me around.
Thanks, Dave Brenner. Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, well, Brenner. Oh, I was going to mention a couple of people who donated to the podcast, which I forgot to do.
They probably don't want their names associated anymore.
So let's do that quick. At Drake Sachs, I don't think he has a name on Twitter, so we'll just say thanks for donating some money, and we're sorry for wasting it. And this one, which really made me convinced that this podcast is the high school personal section, or the personal section of your high school newspaper. At Maury Ballstein wanted to apologize to at Crazy Eye Kaz, who donated a couple weeks ago. But apparently Maury ruined the... It was going to be an insult for at Popcorn Bandit, but apparently Maury ruined it, probably in real life, so he wanted to donate so he'd mention his name and apologize. So, also, Maury saw somebody around the water fountain, and he thinks you're dreamy, and he thinks he has six period English together. So,
Maury Ballstein?
So,
that's so
Seinfeld is apologizing to Crazy Eye Killa?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
that checks out.
Jerry.
That makes perfect sense.
So thanks for donating, everybody. We used your money to buy Aaron and John beer last week, so you got free beer out of this. Don't get mad.
You're right. No Coors.
Parker, yeah. Parker was acting. You know, last time I bought you an entire case of Coors, and you didn't drink one of them.
I apologize.
If we get a really good run on some sponsored slurs, maybe we can fly down to Captiva Island next week.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So let's hope.
Cool.
Should we just do a Kickstarter? Maybe a Kickstarter to get you guys down there?
You got 3 days, everyone.
Yeah.
Donate some money, and we're going to get down there and ruin this wedding.
Find your rich uncle.
Down there, bought a house for $12.
I've already shaved the bow tie into my chest hair, just making it horrible.
Oh, I know a good puka shell guy if you want to get down there too.
I'm in.
What I wouldn't give for one wedding photo where you have puka shells on.
I might have to do that.
Yeah,
actually, two of the guys that are in the wedding are in the show too.
Are they?
Yeah,
perfect.
Full reunion of that. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways,
let's turn it off before we say anything else horrible. Thanks for listening. We'll see you. Bye. It's been a year of the sportive. Thanks for listening, and we're sorry. We're just so sorry.
It's true.
So sorry.
We apologize.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.